I'm just going to read to you from the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for the Word. We just pray that the Word of God just soaks deep into our spirits and our hearts and into our stubborn brains that we have, and just changes us and transforms us by the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I'm just going to be reading from Proverbs. You don't have to open up the Word. I'm just going to read you some scriptures. If you want to write them down, that's fine. Proverbs 13:21 says, "Misfortune pursues the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous." When I think about misfortune pursuing the sinner, I was just thinking about my husband and I when we started dating, and we were just as heathen as you could be heathen and sinners as you could be sinners, and everything about our life was just so cursed. Of course, you know, we were just, you know, drinking, and I mean, one day we drank and we had Quaaludes and passed out. Thank God we're thank God we're living today. And you know, like everything we touched, even my husband's car during the during those days, I often think about that. And we would get into his, I think it was a Volvo, and he had to start it with a screwdriver, you know. And so he started with a screwdriver, and I always thought that was kind of odd. And that was, you know, the way we were able to travel around. And then one day we're, you know, here we're driving back to come home, and we get out of the car and we were like right down to the ground. You know, the whole chassis of the car had fallen down. it was like there was this black cloud over our life of poverty. Everything was so black and dark, and everything we touched went to, you know, to dirt. And even this little tiny studio apartment that we were living in, I mean, it was so teeny weeny. Everything was contained. The bedroom was in the kitchen, and the little tiny little living room, and then you had to go out in the hallway to go to the bathroom, and we were sleeping. Here I am pregnant, you know, I got pregnant, and I'm sleeping on this single bed, pregnant with, you know, with my husband after we married, and the springs were sticking up in my back, and and it was the dead cold of winter in New York City, and we didn't know it, but we had there was a crack in the window. So the freezing cold was coming in, and so it was freezing cold. We didn't even know there was a crack in the window. My husband was so funny in those days. I mean, he had some really bright ideas. You know, if he put the iron on and the blow dryer and the electric, the little, what do you call that, hot plate. I mean, I would laugh at him like, is this going to bring heat to this house, you know? So it was just like, we froze to death, and then we figured out that there was cold air coming through the window. And then, of course, I had to get up. He didn't have a job at the time, and so here I am getting big and pregnant. I'm sleeping. Oh, man, I'm sleeping. I'm getting bigger and bigger, and I'm more miserable and miserable, so I have to get up in the morning. I have to go to work. I'm a secretary in New York City. But to get to work, I've got to walk 10 blocks in the snow, because we didn't have a car that worked, of course. In the snow to the train station, to go on the train station, big and pregnant. Not one man would get up to give me, the big pregnant woman, a seat. And I mean, I would wake up cursing like a sailor in the morning. Oh, I was so mad. My husband wasn't working. I'm working. I'm pregnant. I'm working. Walking in the snow. I mean, I was a bitter wife. I mean, everything was black. Everything was black. Everything was misery. We had no money, no food. But praise the Lord, there came a point in our life that we came to know the Lord. And then there came a point, and that didn't change the poverty situation, that we came to know the Lord, you know. That didn't change anything. But then what changed was when we got to understand and grasp the concept of giving. That radically changed our life, and that black cloud was just like, bam, it was taken away in almost a second. And then everything from that moment on that we touched was blessed, 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 blessed. And it took a long time. I mean, there was just one particular incident where my husband sponsored a child in India, Ambrose. And from that moment on, I mean, bam, there was a dramatic change that came into our life. And so from there, it's taken time. It's been slow as far as really understanding the concept of giving and really understanding to walk in that way, not just one time, but to really walk in that way, to walk in that way so much that you remove the curse, remove the black cloud, and walk in the light and hear and find the truth. Not only hear and find the truth, but find the truth and do the truth, because that's the key. You can hear the truth. You can hear all these scriptures that I'm going to read today, but until you put it in your heart and put it in your soul and knock yourself in the head and do it, you will go from the curse to the blessed. And that's the fact. And Proverbs 28:22 says, a stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware that poverty awaits him. Proverbs 28:27 says, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. Think about Christina Onassis, a billionaire. She had everything she could possibly want in this life. She had everything. Do you know that she never gave to a charity? She never gave to the poor. She never gave to anyone because she thought she could take care of herself. Me, 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 me. She was so me, 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 me. Money, money, money for me, me, me. And she said, she wrote, and she killed herself, and she said, life is meaningless. Life is meaningless. Without Christ, it's meaningless. And then your next level of being raised up in Christ is your level of giving and getting out of yourself, which takes years and years and years to get out of your selfishness, your self-nature, give out to others, and that's when you'll find the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, because the only joy of the Lord is what you do for other people. In my own life, in my 20s, becoming a Christian in my early 20s, all I cared about was myself. What could I do for me? What could I get for me? What could I, me, 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 me. And it's taken many, 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 many years for me, and I'm not there yet. But I have found the joy. I have found that my life is joyful. My life is meaningful. My life means something when I pour out and give. It's meaningful. It's rich. It gives me something. Last night, whenever I go, wherever I go, to the prisons or ministering to people, that is the meaning of my life, and it is the joy of my life. And I don't know of anything else, any sinful pleasure that takes the place of that. Proverbs 22:9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. A generous man will be blessed. A stingy man will be cursed. I think about Bellini's being generous man, Scott, who is given to Teen Challenge and to the homeless and to the alcoholics and to the addicts and to the people of God. He's given food, platters of lasagna, platters of ziti. Platters have gone out for years and years and years. And his business is blessed because givers are blessed. Generous people are blessed. You can't get around it. You can't get around the fact of the word that a generous man will be happy, joyful, and blessed. And they are making fun of me because in the prison, these people are very warm right here. If you see them right here, right now, in the prison, I was in the bathroom with Annette and Daisy, and I was going off concerning people in church that come, and they know that they are going to be cold in church because they're cold-natured people, and so the air conditions aren't too loud, and they sit there with their little short-sleeve shirts on, and they freeze to death, and we all feel guilty who are cool and feel good. And so I'm going off in the bathroom concerning why can't people just bring a sweater to church? Why can't they just bring a sweater? Why do they have to, bother people? You know, why can't we be cool? You know, we have to worry about you freezing, blah, 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 blah. You know, so anyway, so after I'm going off, and Annette says, wow, you really feel, this is really an intense subject for you, isn't this? I said, yeah, really, this is a really intense subject for me. So we go from the prison bathroom, and we go sit in the front seat in the prison at Putnam the last time, and who's there? Frank. With his little short-sleeve shirt on. I'm so freezing cold. I'm like, Do you see? I mean, why can't he bring himself a long sleeve shirt? What's the problem, you know? I saw at Fump, you know, they have a rack of sweaters. You know, I feel like, you know, although we have to move everything out, so I'd like to put a rack of sweaters over here. Okay, yes, I feel intensely about this subject. Bring a sweater to church so that we can be cool if we want to be cool. So, I'm glad you're all nice and warm. Proverbs 22:4 says, humility and fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. So humility and fear of the Lord as opposed to pride bringing poverty and dishonor. Who wants wealth and honor? Only three people want wealth. So you all want dishonor and poverty. Who wants it? Is that what you want dishonor and poverty? You're not listening. Okay. I know. That's a big problem. So who wants... All right. Well, let's see. We'll take a poll. Who wants poverty and dishonor? Raise your hand. Who wants wealth and prosperity? Not everybody. Still not Who wants wealth and prosperity? Wealth and prosperity? That man back there. Oh, you do want. Okay. I was afraid because I didn't want you to want dishonor and poverty. You know. Okay. I just worried about you. I want to make sure everybody's, you know, wants every, you know, the same thing. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor." Proverbs 21:13 says, "If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered." I was thinking about the carpenter's home. You know, how many children do they have? 17? 17 children at the carpenter's home. And so we went there for our last meeting, and I'm finding out that this poor family who went through the hurricane lost their power and their water for 6 days, twice. 17 children, heart problems, oxygen problems, water on the brain problems, and no water, no electricity. 17 children. They stayed in the home. And I'm like, oh, God, I didn't know that, you know. And still she doesn't complain. She's in the, she's, you know, she said, oh, yeah, this is very hard. You know, but she didn't, oh, you know. I mean, you know, it's so amazing, and it's so blessed me that one of the men that are a part of coming to the home group, he came and... they have a community well, so the well is on electricity, but it's in the community. So this man came with a generator and plugged in the generator so that they can have water 2 hours every other day or something like that, and then also that they can keep their meat freeze. Imagine you have to feed 17 kids every day. You don't have, and they were able to use. He was able to use the stove every other day as well with the generator. He helped them out. And I just looked at him and said, thank you for helping them. Bless you, you know. I was thinking, oh, gosh, we didn't even think of them. I mean, we're all going through our, you know, our hurricane nightmares and all. But I was just like, oh, bless you for helping them and thinking of them. I can't even imagine. Proverbs 11:24 says, "One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. And blessed is he who has regard for the weak. I will be with you in time of trouble." That's one of my favorite scriptures. Blessed is you if you have regard for the weak when it's your time of trouble, that he will come to you. Isn't that neat? Isn't that a wonderful promise that if you line up with his word, that you put yourself in a position where he goes, oh, I saw what you did. I saw what the sacrifices you made. I saw the price that you paid. I saw how you gave. I saw how you gave. And now it's your time of trouble. I'm going to bless you because his word doesn't lie. Isn't that so cool? So that makes us want to really jump on board. Jump on board to help the weak. Jump on board to be a blessing to who we can be. This life is so short. Eternity is really at hand. Life is so short. So we need to get on board to be a blessing because it's going to be over, and your reward is going to be anything that you've done through Christ in your life. Everything else is dead. Everything, every prideful thing you think you're so wonderful is all dead. Everything you do that you think is so wonderful, the things that you do that Christ tells you to do comes through you, is life and your reward in heaven, and it's coming over soon. It's over soon. So jump on board and be blessed and be prospered.